Hi, everyone. How are you? Happy day.
Hi.
Where are you calling from?
Massachusetts.
Colorado.
Dallas.
New Orleans.
Louisiana.
Austin, Texas.
Chelsea.
San Diego.
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Nevada.
New Jersey.
California.
California.
Okay. Wow. California's winning so far. Okay. Well, great. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining me, for joining us. I love looking forward to these calls. And today I want to talk to you guys about the lessons. And a lot of you said that you hadn't gotten to them yet, which is it's okay. It's a problem. A lot, you know, you still have to do them. I read a couple of Facebook comments of people saying it was they still have to do them. But that's okay. It's really fine. Just kind of remember this. Is always be able to, you'll always be able to go back to this call, too, if you want to. But today we're going to discuss lessons mostly 4 and 5. It was all about also the homework I gave you. Lesson for those who did the homework, I talked about creating your own sanctuary in your mind, the healing sanctuary. And there was a lot of you who said that they talked a lot about reference to water and violet colors, which was really interesting because water is a number one, a conductor of energy. But it's also translucent, it's also movement, it's also cleansing, it's purification, it's birth, it represents a lot. So that was really interesting to see that, and I was not surprised about that. And the violet being spiritual, that's a very spiritual color, that also is not surprising. And the sparseness in some of the rooms, that also to me was very, very true to this type of work. So, because it's usually uncluttered, it's an opening. It's some of the rooms, I think, had open ceilings, very open sunlight were in a lot of them, and that's also very common. So it was good. It was very good. Very proud of a lot of you. The color white was also prevalent a lot in a lot of people's sanctuaries, which is, again, purity, cleanliness, divinity. So it's great vibration. It was very much healing vibration. There are some green colors, of course, which is healing as well. So there we go. So lesson 4, of course, is all about healing the power of the mind. And, of course, healing begins with the mind and begins with also what we place in the mind, the power of our thoughts and so forth. So we're going to discuss that a little bit and, of course, take your questions. I'd like to start, though, with a prayer. So if you just maybe close your eyes wherever you are and we'll bring the space together. We ask Divine Heavenly Parent, we ask your blessing upon this meeting. Thank you, dear spirit friends, guides, teachers, loved ones, angels, ascended masters, and all beings of the light to surround us and to open up our hearts and minds with knowledge, wisdom, and peace. Thank you and bless you. Amen. Okay, so we did a lot of exercises about program the mind to heal and the grounding tree, which is one of my favorite ones, and also the one I do a lot about becoming the ailment, which I do that also for regular classes. I talk about that a lot with people who are trying to move through things, and we go back, we find out what's in the way of blocking them from moving on. So I talk about that as well, which is great. So Emily, you're with us, yes?
Yes, hi, Jane.
Hi, Emily. and Emily helped me do all these videos. Emily produced all the videos through all of this with me. And I kind of, when I was doing these videos for the different lessons, I kind of was in a trancey state, wouldn't you say, Emily?
Yeah.
kind of a trancey state. And then Emily gets a trancey state, it's all trancey. So, what you want to start with questions first, Emily? What do you think?
Yeah, let's start with questions. In fact, since we're talking about homework, I see Rita has one on Facebook that I think we should just mention. She's wondering what happens with the homework that you submit. And what happens, so everyone knows, is it goes into the back end, actually, and we have a vault, and we can actually see all the homework.
We go read a lot of it.
Since James is so busy, we can't reply to everyone, but we do make an effort to kind of look at for common themes.
It's probably common on every one of them, but we look at them all.
Yeah. So, and we can see your homework back from months ago. Even on the old site, we can see it. So, that's that. Should we get a phone call?
Please do it. Continue doing it. It's important. It is important. It really is. Because you can always have that also for your own personal needs as well to go back to.
Yeah. You ready to get the phone, Jane?
Yes. perfect, because I know a lot of questions. It'll have to be a lot of questions for these two lessons. Sure.
Okay, so people can press star 6 to get in the queue, and it looks like we have Sydney is the first person coming up at 508.
Sydney. Hi, James. This is Sydney.
Forgive
me if this question isn't specific to 4 and 5. I'm a little behind.
No worries.
But I'm really curious about this. I'm a Reiki master, and a lot of my healing has gone towards animals, cats, dogs, horses, snakes, you name it.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if you have any specific hints for using spiritual healing with animals.
Okay, so the only thing that I'm going to say with Reiki energy and healing energy, it's the same energy. So it's the same divine universal energy that's what you're using. So that's really for you, the intention would be really the most important thing. And it's really the intention that you have in your mind when you're healing the animal. And it's really bringing that energy into the animal. And I, what do you do when you're working with your Reiki energy? How do you visualize? What's your experience when you're using Reiki energy on an animal or a human?
Well, I use... sometimes I use touch, and like you said, I set my intention for a specific, whatever the specific healing is for.
So if you have an animal that comes to you, do you know ahead of time what's wrong with them, what ailment they might have?
Sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't.
And if you don't have it, what happens then in your mind? What do you do in your mind to work with them?
What I do is I try to connect with them and feel almost the same way you would do it with a human aura, just to feel, to see if their energy is blocked in a particular area or oftentimes I just connect with them. I have a really good connection with animals.
Right.
So oftentimes I can psychically connect with them.
Yeah, so the only thing that keeps us back from really being there is the mind, okay? So and each person might have a different method of using the divine universal power. So it's always there. It's just us, the humans, that open it up and do that. So if you need something to help you to do that, that's fine. One technique could be that you visualize a star, even a 5-pointed star or a 6-pointed star, and just see a point of that starlight coming down through you to the animal, or directly through the animal, that's fine, or directly through the human, it's the same energy. And what sometimes what you could visualize is that universal energy coming through that bottom point of light, or the star coming through, and you could do it to the top of the head, and just fill them with that light, and anything which is blocking coming out of their fingertips and out of their toes. And that's how I would just let be waves of light and waves of energy. And also when you're doing it, remember your intention. I call it riding the wave. So riding the wave of love, bringing love into that body, bringing love into every single particle of energy that you're there. It's already there. Love is there, but I want you to just empower that with love even more. Your intention should be love, love, love the whole way.
Okay.
And that's all you got to do. It's as simple as that. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
Okay. And just a reminder, you can press star 6 if you want to get in the queue. Next up,
There was a Facebook comment someone made about the weeding the garden of the mind.
You want me to go to that one? Okay.
Yeah,
that was
really interesting, which was from video 5.
Okay. Laura is wondering about the garden of the mind activity, the theme of weeding out thoughts that dominate or do not serve us. How do we distinguish if these thoughts need attending to, meaning doing something about it or removing, and leaving that thought or idea specifically in dreams or in others?
So this is a really, really interesting question. And we want to remember that we keep these things as simple as possible because we don't want to overthink things. Being humans, we tend to overthink things because we want to control things. And so I think it's every day it's important to go to your mind and see what kind of thoughts you're having. So if there are thoughts there that are not harmonious, are not in balance, are making us feel bad, that's where we have to weed them out. We have to get rid of them in some way. What are they teaching us? What are we supposed to learn from them? What is the reason that we're hanging on to them? There's got to be a reason. So we have to find out what is the reason why, what purpose are they serving? So I think it's important on a daily basis to weed out. I call it the garden of the mind. Because the mind, you have to have positive growth, life force there? And how can we be healers when we have disturbances there in the mind? So if there are imbalances, disharmony, disturbance of some kind, then you're not fully open to that power because you're blocking it. So we got to find out what is going on there, what's holding us back. So the thoughts we have should not be bad ones. They should be loving ones. They should be balanced ones, harmonious ones. So that's what that's about.
Okay, perfect. Looks like we have some more about that, too. Let's go to John first. John is the name coming up at 415.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, hi, James. It's Vicki. How are you?
Hi, Vicki. How are you? San Francisco?
I'm good. I have a couple of questions here. First of all, I just want to say I'm really enjoying, these last few weeks have been pretty amazing.
Right.
In the videos, and Dr. Edith was amazing. And
isn't she incredible, Dr. Edith? Isn't she incredible?
Yeah. She's inspiring for sure. So thank you for that. My question is, it's like when I'm clearing out my space, and there's part of the second question comes is because the same friend comes to the ailment that I specifically was asking about in my body, but this particular person keeps showing up in my space, and I'm clearing. She's a friend of mine, and I love her so much and everything. But I also felt like you said something about when you first meet a person, pay attention to your gut, those energy clues, cues, and I remember 3 years ago when I met her, it was like, when she came to my house, I just felt like that she really wanted a lot from me, and I didn't really want her to court up with me. And
ding, ding, ding.
I know. So she's my friend, and I love her dearly. She's a sweetheart and everything. And But anyway, she shows up in my space, and I clear her away, and I do all these, loving things to, put her in the rows and blow her up and do the things that, to clear and all of this and say I love her and everything. But, this is my sacred space and you can't come here. But what I saw when we did the ailment one was that had to do with my knees, which was they were weakened anyway. But I took her up to a park because she has Lyme's disease, and I carried a bunch of heavy things into this Native American park to do a ceremony of Thanksgiving, and she was going to participate with me, but I went up there and I carried all these things, and that's when I hurt my knees. But when I was in the meditation with the ailment, I asked and I saw her face pop up, and so I couldn't quite get more than that, so I'm just wondering if you can help me with
this. Yeah, well, what do the knees represent?
Well, the knees represent for me now?
Just generally speaking, what do knees represent?
Generally speaking, well, my knees represent being able to be flexible and bend and move forward and move on.
What I get for the knees, standing on your own 2 feet. standing on your own 2 feet.
Okay.
It's security to stand up.
Okay.
So she's got to stand on her own 2 feet. And this is going to be a really hard one for you, sweetheart. And this is very, very common for people who are healers and working in healing energies in that they want to help everyone. And sometimes you got to be very careful because there are people there who don't have bad intent necessarily, but they're psychic vampires. They rob energy because they need it. They deplete it. And we can do as much as we can, but sometimes they just pull at us. And not that they mean to, not that they intend to. But we've got to be very, very careful who we let into the space. And you can love her from a distance, of course. But there's something there, obviously, might be also karmically, some karmic obligation you might have with her. Something
you think
going on.
So.
Yeah, definitely. There's a deeper relationship thing that you guys should talk about, like what's going on with the relationship with us, because I'm not and you got to be careful, because when you speak to somebody like that, if you say, I don't feel well when I'm around you, I feel like I'm depleted, she might not understand what you're talking about. So however you can say that to her in a loving way, a compassionate way, but I think there's definitely some dynamic as far as you wanting to take care of her, she's looking to you to take care of her. There's a reason why, maybe feeling needed. I don't know, but there's something there for you're holding her up, you see. And you're not going to be able to.
Oh, I'm holding her up. I see.
Yeah, you're holding her
up.
Okay,
so
At your own price, you see.
Yeah. So how do I clear? Do I just keep clearing my space? And
I think you should do is I think you need to sit down and talk with her, physically speak with her about your relationship and about how you feel, and find out what the crux of it is. Go down deep with her and find out what is going on here. Because I'm feeling, you know, I don't know if you know what her background is or her, you know, family life or.
I do, yes.
So there might be she might need from you stuff that she never received from her family or, you know what I'm saying? There's some other psychic stuff that she's pulling into. It's just like psychic vampires, what it feels like.
So is that preventing me from my knees healing?
So you could help her to help herself. That's what you can do. Help her to help herself. Uh-huh. I think when you start giving her help to help herself, she'll be able to stand up on her own 2 feet. You'll be able to stand up on your own and not go down on your knees. Because I get a psychic impression like you're falling down on your knees because you can't stand up strong because I feel like she's pulling energy from you. That's what I pick up on that one.
Is it to help herself. Is it at my knees or is it everywhere, anywhere in my body?
No, I just see you falling down on your knees. It's almost like you have no security. There's no security. I don't feel grounded. I don't feel secure.
Oh, me. Okay, I don't feel grounded.
You, yes.
Okay, so I should, number one, continue to clear and then maybe just chat with her personally?
Yeah, sit down in person and help her to help herself. Be the little bit of a counselor that you can be and help her to help herself because there might be some issues within herself that she doesn't know she has her own power of healing herself. She can.
She's working on that.
Yeah,
definitely.
She needs to love herself more. She needs to understand she's not who people think she's not what people think she is. She's who she is. So a lot of that type of work she's needing.
But James, when we have this as a, you know, because we're all here in this group, it's like when people are psychic vampires on us, how do we keep them from coming back?
I use a clearing. I do the clearing, but I also use that technique of surrounding myself with golden light, you've heard me talk about this before. I bring the running the energy, and I do it every morning. I do that. I run my energy at least 10 times a day, so I'm constantly filtering out psychic debris, dirty debris, other people's energy, other people's thoughts, people you have conversations with on the phone. After this call, I'll be doing it. I do it all the time. When I'm walking around the garden, I'll do it. It's just cleansing, it's clearing, it's purifying because you don't want anyone to take hold of that space. You know, it's your space.
Yeah,
that's what happened.
And, you know, I thought maybe it was the Native Americans of the place where we went, but it was
no,
all
No, it's harder with also, honey, because we're all healers. I mean, we're sensitive beings, so we'll tend to pick up things up easier. And because most of us are empathetic beings, we will tend to feel it a lot more. We're sponges. So we have to constantly be kind of running our energy and constantly being aware of the space and who we're letting in the space, who we're not. And a lot of us want to heal everyone, but we can't do that. We have to help them to heal themselves.
Do you think there were people in the park, the Native American park that I went to, that we did a ceremony, that there's something
no,
there?
No, that's fine. I think that's fine. I don't feel anything there. That's fine.
Oh, I do too. I feel really good about that. I don't feel anything there.
That's fine.
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and keep doing with that then, clearing out and maybe have some chats with her to be more, because she's trying on her own to do a lot of things for healing.
You know, the mantra that I have, healthy am I, happy am I, holy am I, you know, write that down for her. Healthy am I, happy am I, holy am I.
Yeah.
And have her write that down and put that on her mirror in a bathroom, say it 3 times in the morning and 3 times at night.
Okay,
healthy am I, happy am I, holy am I.
All right, and then so I can clear this all out then, right?
Yep. No reason you can't.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much for your help.
Okay, sweetheart. You're very welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good luck, sweetie. Okay.
Okay, we have an interesting question on Facebook about chakras, James.
I think we need to do a course on chakras, by the way. I was just looking at that today.
We need to do other people. We do.
Yeah.
A lot of questions on it. Do other animals have chakras?
Yes.
And which one do you use to calm an animal down when they're frightened? Also, are chakras something that only exists in living beings, or do spirits have them?
Chakras really are just energy centers. So everything is energy. So it's a condensed energy. So we have those energy centers also within the spirit, of course. It might show itself differently in the spirit form than it does in physical, well, we call it a physical form. Energetic energy is energy. Then the chakras are concentrated energy, and each one has a different property, if we will. For calming people down, I use green and I use blue. Green is a wonderful balancer. It balances people out. And blue is a nice cool color, and it helps them to come into their own self-expression, if you will. So I'd say a blue and a green I would use for them. Animals are pretty good. I usually will, when I work with animals, it depends on the animal. Each animal is different. So there might be an animal agitated with nervousness. I'll do green. But I also, at the same time that I'm doing the green, with the heart chakra energy, which is healing, which is love, which is a balance, I also will send thoughts to them. And I telepathically will send a thought of love, that I'm here, I love you, you've done it, you can calm down, it's okay. And really start communicating with them telepathically. That's what I also suggest. That would really, really help.
Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the next person coming up is Debbie at 925.
Hi, this is Debbie. How are
Hi,
you doing?
Hi, Debbie.
I have kind of a general question for you.
Okay.
My background is prayer treatment, spiritual mind treatment, and so I've been enjoying the visualizations, those I've been able to do, but I'm in total awe of the video when you're doing the chakra clearing and the feeling with Emily. That was just amazing. And I struggle sensing that. Is it just a matter of practice, or is that
okay.
just...
Hold on one second.
I bet he's shutting his door.
Okay. So, first of all, I want to ask you, Debbie, what do you mean by prayer treatment?
Distance healing, distance
okay.
prayer circles, and in, like, religious science, spiritual mind treatments.
Right. So, kind of the same thing, just a different label, but pretty much the
yeah.
same. Because I studied science of mind, and that's my religion, too. Ernest Holmes is my thing. So, it's really the same principles, basically.
Right. Exactly.
Right. So for colors, what I would do if I were you, and this would be really, really nice for you, what I would do is I'd set up a chart with seven colors of the chakras,
mm-hmm.
you know, red all the way to violet, right? And I'd do them in squares. I would do them probably like 3 to 4 inch squares, okay? So get fabric, red, orange, yellow, the chakra colors, and put them in front of you somewhere, right? They're all equal. And what I would do is I'd see them, and then I would just, I'd take a blindfold, okay? And I would put my hands toward them and just feel, see if you can feel the color differences.
Oh.
Isn't that an interesting one?
Yes.
And the more you do that, the more you'll be able to become aware of the subtlety of the vibrational frequency of each color. Okay?
Okay.
And now you can also go further in that, and you can find this online. You know, when I do the shock, when Emily and I do the shock course, which obviously we're going to be doing because it came to us all, there's also a musical note that's also involved with each chakra as a musical note, a color of the vibration. And you might want to find online the actual chord, the musical chord, that is also associated with the color. And at the same time you're putting the blindfold and you're doing it, maybe you can play that chord. You can find a way of getting that chord sound because there are definitely meditations which have the chord sound.
Right.
And that way you become more aware of that, okay? And it's a subtle feeling. It's not going to hit you over the head. It's really subtle. Yeah. And just keep on trying it over and over again. That's the best way to do it.
Okay. Just practice.
Yeah, practice. And I think the video also, I went into the different chakra colors, and it was kind of the map, wasn't it?
Well, I was thinking more of when you're feeling, you're going, oh, it's expanding out here, more that when
yep.
you're kind of checking your aura, and it's like,
yep.
wow, that
yep.
is so awesome, but I'm not.
So you can do that. You can do it with anybody, and you can do it from the top of the head all the way down, and you can feel the vibrancy of it, the vibrancy of the energy, and you can feel how the denseness of the energy, the expansion of the energy, you'd be able to do that easily. But you will, you know, practice it. Daily practice, subtle, but you'll be able to do it. I think you'll be just fine with that.
Okay. That
All
sounds
right.
wonderful. Thank you.
Okay, Deb.
Take care.
Hi.
Blessings.
Okay. We actually do have Rachel saying she wants a chakra course.
Without a doubt. I mean, that came to me before, too, and it's just so funny. It's like, and I have chakra books all in front of me, so I'm like, we've got to do the chakra course again.
And then Kim, actually, James, you and I were talking this morning. Kim is wanting to know if we're doing something on animal healing, which we just touched on.
Yes.
Yeah, if you
animal
have any
healing.
Recommendations, James.
Yes, Sonia Fitzpatrick is a really great animal communicator. She's a very good animal psychic. She has a show called The Pet Psychic. And the other person was Denise Kincaid. Is that her name? That's the other
Danielle
one.
McKinnon?
That's it. I'm sorry. Danielle McKinnon.
Okay.
Danielle. Those are two I know. But I think we could do something with animal communication. I think with animal communication, I got to tell you, I practice every day with my dog, as I know you do too, Emily. But, I mean, they are so more aware than we are. And I try to get into that alpha state, wave state with them. And I practice on a daily basis where I'll be sitting in one room and I'll send out a thought to my dog, you know, come over here now. Come over, I want to give you a kiss. Come over, I want to kiss. And she does it now. So it's like, it's wild. So you use that energy, you feel it, and then you keep on, because it's all waves of energy. So it's kind of tuning in the radio to their frequency. And they're all about love. So if you take the love of that animal and direct the love toward them, and they'll pick up on it. So that's really what it is. You know, the human being has so much disturbances. It's so much like white noise we have. And if we just calm it down to that signal and send out that wavelength, that signal, the animal picks it up very easily. God, they teach us so much. They really do. They're very simple. They don't ask for much. They really don't. They have great, distinct personalities. But coming down to it, they really are about unconditional love and teaching the humans about that, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go to Daniel is the name coming up at 786.
Hello?
Hello.
I'm Betty.
Hi, Betty.
Oh, I'm new at this, so please, I'm sorry if it's
That's
not
okay,
as complicated
Betty. We're new at you too, so don't worry. We're all new together.
Okay. Okay. I'm just started a session two.
Okay.
And I wanted to know how or what is the best way to acquire more energy for healing. Should we just practice more, or meditate, or both? Besides doing your program,
right? So, what I would do is is very similar to what I do for mediumship for people, and that is what I call it sitting in the quiet or sitting in the silence, and you don't necessarily need to sit in meditation. We have to breathe in and breathe out. Where it's more an active experience. This is going to be more of a passive experience. So if I can sit in a space, okay. And I tell people all the time, I like to sit in the closet because it's dark, and I like to be in a dark space because I don't want to have any disturbances from the outside world. So no phones, no hearing, no voices. And if you sit in a space, so that's why I have a closet. I sit in the closet because it's dark in there, no one disturbs me, I can't hear the phone. And it really is, you sit there for a while and you'll begin to feel your power, your soul power, okay? And you'll feel that power within. And that power is connected, of course, to the higher universal power, the divine source. And you'll feel that source energy come in. And as you're sitting there, just invite that, set out the intention. I invite the source energy for helping me to do my healing, open me up, open up all of the portals for healing, open up the different vortexes of energy for healing, for let me receive the healing energy. I'm open to receive. And just sit for a bit. Then let that thought go and just sit there. And that's all you have to do. And just be in that power. And then you'll begin to recognize how the power feels within you. The heart, you'll feel it in your heart. You'll feel that loving energy all through you. And you'll probably feel it also in your hands. And there might be a tingling sensation. There might be some heat coming from your hands. So just sit with that. If you could do it on a regular basis, probably twice a week would be great if you can. Do that twice or three times a week. That would be great. And if you do it for a month and see what happens, how it changes you. I guarantee it'll change you in many different ways, by the way. So you'll be looking much more sensitive.
Thank you. And you answered my second question about
mediumship.
I know,
I'm a psychic. That's what I do.
I know. You're very good. Thank you.
Thanks, sweetheart. Thanks for calling, Betty.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, honey.
Okay, we have another good one in the Facebook group. Cindy is wondering, lesson five, you talk about performing past life regressions and reviewing soul contracts. Would I need more detailed training on these to be successful, or should I attempt them with an open mind? I'm just beginning my journey.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that last part. She's concerned about past life regression.
Yeah, past life regressions, yeah. And how we, you know, we the soul contracts. We covered that in the videos, reading a soul contract. Would I need more detailed training on these to do them, since I'm just at the beginning of my healing journey?
Well, what I would suggest definitely is take past life regression training, and that would be very good with Dr. Brian Weiss, a good friend of mine, probably the number one in the country to do that. So I would definitely do that past life regression training, without a doubt. And I would suggest going to a mega institute, and that's where Brian teaches. Or he doesn't have to be Brian. He has people at his institute, on his website, who also are practitioners who can help. But I would definitely do that. I would get more involved in that level if she really wants to get in depth about that.
Okay. And then Isabel is wondering about soul groups. And she's wondering if you have any recommendations, James, on books or resources to learn more about them.
Yes. Michael Newton, all the books of Soul, Destiny of Souls by Michael Newton. Any book by Michael Newton is very, very good. There's also one called Soul, let me think. I did a blurb for it. I can't think. Gary Schwartz is also another author. And there is, I see the book in my head, but I can't think of it.
You can look it up.
Yeah, but definitely Michael Newton for sure. Destiny of Souls, great book. Any book by Michael Newton is perfect.
Okay, perfect. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Remember, you can press *6 if you have a question. And next up, we have Sandy.
Hi, James.
Hi, Sandy. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm great. It can't be a week until I speak to you.
I know.
We have to speak every week. That's right.
North Carolina, enjoying the beautiful weather.
Good, honey. I heard it's a hurricane or something going on down there, no?
The water spouts and tornadoes, but
we'll be careful.
Yeah, it was just a town next door to me, but it's fine, and having a wonderful time with the family. Healing the soul. But I wanted to ask you about animals and a little bit about, it goes with the mediumship a little bit. When, because I'm learning all this about the animals and my healing ability, because Sonia Fitzpatrick helped me a little bit and told me I should do this, or I've done it since a child. She just blatantly looked at me like you do and said, "You have it since you were a child, honey."
Yeah, she's the best, Sonia. I love her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's a doll. She's helped me and read for my dog.
And for everybody, she's on Sirius Radio in the weekend. She has a radio show every Sunday.
Yeah, that's how I've kind of... it's actually a Unit Radio show she read for me and John. So she, what I got is talking to the animals and the animals telling me. My best friend Gina, you met her in Jersey.
Yep.
She has a farm. Yep. And I could tell her about animals, and somehow she's gotten animals, kind of like Doreen Virtue, that have taken them in.
Yep, Animal Sanctuary,
They will talk to me plain as day and tell me stuff.
Yeah, that's how it comes. It comes telepathically. So they will tell you things. And, same with me. I'll go by animals and they'll speak to me. So I can hear them. I can hear plants, too. So, I mean, it happens. When you're open to it and tune into that vibration, you'll be able to hear them. So, yes. So, yeah, go on.
Okay. And then when they talk about, it's the same thing as mediumship, but when they're telling me about the different elements they had, they'll show me the scenes of abuse that they had upon their last owners, and then what kind of things to tell her to take care of her, or even as another goat telling another goat that they're irritating the crud out of them. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So it's very new to me. This is all new. It wasn't until Sonia looked at me and talked to me and said, "You have it, honey, and you had it since you were a child. You could do this."
Right. So the only thing Sandy, I suggest is, number one, you think about the back on the abuse and all that. That, remember, it's being filtered through your own experiences. Remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that can all be healed. You know, that's just a past memory that's just healed. So I would talk about getting into proving what that comes through to you is about that other goat bothers me, and ask your client, you know, is this true? The other goat bothers that? Exactly what Sonia does. Does that other goat bother the other one? Or sometimes they come in about the food is not good. They don't like this kind of food. They'll talk about that.
Yes.
Sometimes they'll talk about getting us up, or what time I want to eat. Or they will talk about different things like that. So just check out your information. All I would say is validate and verify the information is correct. That's what I think you need to do.
Yes, thank you. It's just so new to me.
I know, honey. It's brand new, but that's all right. You got it. You have the ability, so might as well use it.
Yeah, she told me that. She said, honey, you had it since darling, you've had it since the childhood. It's time to do that, too. I said, okay.
Yep. True.
Thank you. I love you.
Thank you, Sandy. Love you.
Okay. We have another question on Facebook from Betty, and she's wondering, James, how and what is the best way to acquire more energy for healing? Should I just keep practicing, meditate, or both besides taking the course?
So it's just like I told Betty, which is sitting in the power, so sitting in the quiet and being open to that divine power within. And that's really how to build the energy, build the power, your connection to source energy. That's what I would suggest. I would really suggest sitting in the quiet at least 3 times a week, for about 15 minutes maybe, the most, 15, 20 minutes, and just bring up that power, bring up that energy, that connection with the divine source. And that works. That really fills up the tank.
Okay, perfect. Let's go to Gwen at 817.
Okay, Gwen.
Hello?
Hi, Gwen. How are you?
Oh, no, it's Alicia.
Oh, it's Alicia. We see all these different names. Alicia. Hi, Alicia.
I talked to you, I think, the first call about the tree, and I can't wait. I'm going to post it on Facebook. It's amazing. Everything came out great. Anyway, I don't know if any one of the other people that communicate with animals have had this issue, but around the time that I started being able to talk to the animals, and I'm still in a very beginner aspect of it, you know, it's still kind of hit and miss, probably my state of mind more than anything else.
Well, that's an interesting thing you say, a state of mind. Very important. Yes, very important.
Yes. Uh-huh. Well, along the time that I started being able to do this, I started, every time I close my eyes, I can see my animal totems right in front of me. And they go in my, you know, first it's like their eye, and then they back up and I can see the animal. Oh, you're an elephant, you're a tiger, you're a panther. And they were, you know, I started noticing them when I was meditating, because I would see like a little film show of these animals coming in and out. And then they got closer and closer, and then they were kind of really intrusive. And I have a friend who's shaman, and she told me they're here on a journey for you, most likely to help you with your animal communication. And they were so intrusive, I didn't even want to go communicate with the animals, because every time I closed my eyes to try to tune into the animal, all I could see and focus on was them.
Right.
And
right,
even in the shower, I mean, they got so kind of pushy, and it went back. It went down to the elephant and the cat, and she said probably because they had the same message for me, but they're not telling me anything. They're just coming in my view, and just it got really intrusive, and I thought I was losing my mind for a while.
No, honey, you've lost your mind years ago. So, Alicia, let me tell you something. So I would look at this. We want to be very, very careful how we look at this. We don't want to let ourselves go crazy with this, right?
Yeah.
But let's see why. So what I would do if I were you is I would write down the different animals that you're seeing, that you're aware of. So let's say an elephant. Let's say a tiger. Let's say a dog. Let's say a crow. Let's say a hawk. And right next to them, write down a word that represents them. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Or you can even ask, what are you trying to say to me?
Well, I kind of did that. I have already written down the meanings of all of them. I did look that all up initially.
Yeah, but see, I don't want you to look at the meanings. I want you to have the meaning. I want you to pick it up.
Oh.
I don't want you to look up the meaning. I want you to intuitively pick up what that means for you. Because
okay.
That animal totem of an elephant might be different for you than for somebody else.
Well, I closed my eyes and I said, if you're here to help with my healing, you know, send me green, because they do send me pink and green. And so they backed up and sent me pink. And so I knew that wasn't why. I said, are you here for my animal? And then they came really close and kind of nodded their head.
Yeah, so pink and green is fine. But listen, animals are loving beings. They really are.
Oh, sure, yeah. They send me pink every time I close my eyes.
Yep, unconditional love.
Yes.
Yep. So what I'm thinking is I think you need to go further. What are they trying to say to you as far as I pick up on an intuitive level, what I pick up is that it is an element, an aspect of your soul that wants to become, they want you to express and bring out. So whether that means strength or endurance or confidence, whatever that is, I think that totem's trying to bring that out to you. Okay.
Yes.
Last week I had this is the weirdest thing. I was in my backyard with some people, and I was having some issues going on, personally, some issues going on. No one knew. And all of a sudden, it was a hawk flying over, and my friend in the back was watching, looking up, and the hawk had a sparrow in its mouth. And as we looked up, the hawk opened its mouth, and the sparrow flew the other way. It released the sparrow. Now, that's really an interesting thing. So I was like, what does that mean when he's let go of the past, let go of things, and fly anew?
Wow.
So there's always symbology, right? And there's always like a meaning, but we don't get too into that. I would just leave it at that. That simple, like
okay.
It's a loving, positive aspect of yourself that's trying to bring out. And then it should be gone. That shouldn't be any problem there.
Oh, good. Yes. Right. Yeah, I'm learning so much through this whole journey.
Yeah, and take it slow. Don't rush it. Don't rush the journey because you don't miss out. There's like a lot of, a lot of little bits and pieces in this course, and they're particles and pieces that are really, really important. So little bits at a time is fine. Don't overdo it.
Well, you said, don't overthink it.
No.
I think I was.
I think you were, honey. I think you were overthinking it. Yep.
Yeah.
That's true of mediumship. That's true of healing. That's true of psychic work. That's true of anything, really, in life, overthinking things. If we overthink, we block ourselves, too.
Yeah.
So the simpler, the better. Let go and let God. As I say, let go
yes.
and let God. So let the energies flow through you. Remember, it's flowing through, and the more we think, we kind of block it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's true. That's what I was doing. And
all
that's
right.
what drove me crazy.
Well, honey, you don't need to be any more crazy than you are, please. otherwise, I won't recognize you, Alicia.
That's okay. Right.
All right. Thanks,
okay,
sweetheart.
Thank you so much.
Love, love. Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, James, we have Betsy who's wondering on the Facebook page. We're actually just, so people know, we're giving you a crystal guide with lesson 7, but Betsy's wondering ahead of time, James, can you recommend a good rough crystal that will help her stay grounded during spiritual work?
A love crystal. Well, rose quartz is great for love.
A grounded one.
A grounded
a
crystal.
Rough, she called it a rough crystal.
A rough
crystal.
A rough crystal.
Rough
crystal. Hold on one second, please. Stand by. I see it in my head, but I don't remember the name. It was, sorry. Stand by. Hold on.
Some people are saying obsidian?
No.
What else is
it molinite? Yeah, moldavite. Moldavite is a grounding.
Moldavite.
It's one of the best grounding crystals there are. Moldavite. It's usually black in color. It comes like a green. It can be greenish and polished. You can see it with chrysocolla. Also, is another one. And if you combine malachite with chrysocolla, it really is beautiful. It's a nice healing stone, but it's also grounding, and it brings peace and restores equilibrium. I'm reading this now. Equilibrium. So that's very, very good to do that for grounding. There's something else I use. Hold on, let me just go in the background here. There's also another stone, if I can remember the name of this one. There's a great book, which is called The Crystal Bible, which is the best book I've written in crystals. Everybody should know that. An agate is also very good, also very, very good for grounding work, too. If you want to know about that. Yep.
Okay. We also have, let me get her name here. Someone is having trouble with the meditations, the chakra meditations, Sherry.
Okay.
And she's wondering, I just don't think we've answered this in this class, but I believe we've done it before. She's having trouble staying awake during the meditation. What should she do to get feedback from them?
That's very, very interesting. So there's a different reason why people fall out. I it's different reasons. So everyone has a different reason behind it. I'd have to know more detail. Like, does it happen in every meditation? Does it happen in every class that she does? What I would do is with her, especially the chakra meditation, I would just do one chakra and turn off the video and just work on that. I wouldn't go through all of them. I would just stay with one at a time, and so she won't fall asleep, and just work with one of them. And when she's fully worked with that, activating and moving that, then she go on to the next one. That way she won't fall asleep. So that's what I would suggest.
Okay. Okay, and then we had another good one from Mary, and she's wondering the difference between an empath and a sensitive. Is there a difference?
You know, not really. It's the same thing. An empath means empathic feeling. Feeling the energy, feeling things, same thing as a sensitive. Sensitive, it's just words. It's the same thing, same meaning. Sensitive, empath, same thing. Sensing, feeling. One is feeling, one is sensing. So it's feeling energy, sensing energy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A fancy way to say it.
Yeah, and a different way to say it, different labels. Like, a lot of people call medium psychics, and that, you know, and call psychics mediums, but it's two different things. So it's just sensing and empath. It's pretty much the same thing with sensing and feeling.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the phone lines. And just so people know, you can press *6 to your question. Next, we have Laura at 337.
Hey, Jane.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
Hey, Laura from Southwest Louisiana. Okay. My first question is, we had a previous caller that talked about running energy, and you responded with golden light. I'm reflecting back to some of the beginning assignments that we had. Is this like the main specific one? Because I know we did an activity where we get in the shower in the morning, we have water.
Same thing, yep. Same thing.
So as long as you pick one, we had a variety of activities that were given to us. I mean, we don't have to, we just pick whatever we feel comfortable with.
What resonates with you, right? Whatever resonates with you is fine.
Okay. And then my second question is, in the chakra activity with clearing out and cleansing and vice versa.
Right.
I guess it's the solar plexus area, the bladder. I mean,
yep.
If someone continues to have issues with the bladder, what does that mean?
Usually the second. That's usually the second chakra point. So second chakra point, you know, has to do with creation, sexuality, addiction, raw emotion, letting go, releasing, which is a kidney is. So what is it that they still need to let go of that they're holding on to? So that's what we have to go into and look at that.
All right, and just final, how long does all this information stay on the site whenever we complete this course? How long do we have access?
It's yours for the rest of your life.
Oh, for real? So we would just
for real. You
log
in
and...
You put it for your life, honey. It's there for you forever.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
And have a, I guess it's 4 p.m. in your area. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you, sweetheart.
All right. Bye-bye.
And, you know, Emily, I just want to mention everyone, so I found that which I was looking for, and I couldn't remember the name, but hematite. So hematite, for me, is the number one grounding stone. It's black. I carry hematite with me in every demonstration I do. I carry it with me on every plane ride. Anytime I'm working, I use hematite in my pocket. It's hematite is the number one grounding stone, and also stability. I'll read what I found here, too. It's strong and most commonly used. Here it is for grounding, stabilizing, protection. In spiritual work, hematite is an excellent stone to help keep yourself also connected to the earth plane. As some would say, it's via the silver cords, that your spiritual learnings and travels can be done safely, and things learned can be brought back to daily life. So I like hematite. It's a grounding stone. It really, really is. So I also will put hematite sometimes down on the earth to let the earth drain anything out from it that picked up. So hematite, black hematite. Okay. Now I feel like I've answered that. Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay. I'm curious, though, because you have a lot of amethyst in your house. What is that?
Amethyst is a really good stone for the third eye, opening up the third eye, and the higher learning. So it's the crown chakra and also the third eye chakra. So that's what I use that for. It's a really good stone also for, just general, for me, and what I use it for is just spiritual, the vibration, keeping the vibration up in my space. is what I use, yeah. I use it for.
Okay. And just so people know, we have a crystal, little mini crystal guidebook for you in lesson 7, which is more so when we go more into healing rituals and using different modalities.
Yeah. Yeah, and I also, you know, I my favorite stone, of course, is amethyst. That's also why I have it. I should tell you that. And so, yeah, it's good. It's a very good general overall stone for spirituality. Been using a lot of work, a lot of ritual type work to the ancient Greeks and Romans and so forth. So goes all the way back.
Okay. All right, let's go to the phone lines again. Just remember, you can press *6 for your question. We have a mystery caller next up.
We love that.
At 443. I know it's the first of our evening.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, yes. Who is speaking, mystery caller?
Hi, this is Noelle.
Hi, Noelle.
So I have a question about what I'm sensing with my hands when I'm working with people.
Good.
So I'm lucky because I'm an acupuncturist already, so I have willing participants to
How
just
great
let me
is
do
that?
Energy work on them.
How great
yeah.
is that? Wow.
It's wonderful. And almost everyone's been open to it and really excited about doing it with me. So I love my clients.
So, Noelle, I have a little exercise for you.
Okay.
What I'd like you to do sometime when you can and you have someone that you can work with. So what you can do is use a blindfold and have the person lie down on the table there, and I'd like you just to scan with your right hand and from the top of the head to the bottom to their feet, and just try to scan where you could find, you know, the acupuncture points, those points, and see how they feel to you as you go around the head area, as you go toward the neck area, the ears, just the subtlety of those different points. You know, as you know, there are thousands of points, but if you get some main points in there, just become aware of how each one feels slightly different. Yeah, because that will help you. And that also might help you, by the way, when you scan that way. I'm just getting the impressions that you use your fingers, like with the hand scanning, but the fingers are moving. So there might be certain points that are clogged, you know, blocked.
Yes. I feel that. So, yeah.
I think that would really help you.
Ready.
That'd
be
great. I think that would really enhance it even more. I think it really will enhance it even more.
Okay. So my question is more in terms of just, like, basically connecting with someone's energy field and the information that comes from that and doing energy work with my hands. So not through acupuncture, actually after I give someone acupuncture, sometimes what I'll do is I'll just do more of a spiritual healing intuitive session. And I guess the last few sessions I've had with people, I feel like what I'm doing is I'm actually reading information with my hands instead of sending healing to them. Does that make sense? So there was a time in the past where I was getting guided information about what would be good for someone. So for instance, there would be a name of like an herb or a suggestion that would come through from spirit, where now I think that things are coming through, but people are like, oh yeah, I'm already doing that. Or, oh yeah, like that's what, you know, like for instance, I was working on someone and raspberries and almonds came through. I was like, this is so bizarre. But I just say whatever it is because I asked for their permission before I start working on them. So I feel
Sweet
really
girl.
Free
Very good.
With
Very
just,
proud
just
of you.
Saying. And so I'm like, I don't know why, but raspberry and almonds are coming through. And she's like, oh, well, that's what I eat like every day. And I'm like, okay. So I'm picking up.
My suggestion for you. You're reading psychically. So what you're doing is you're reading them psychically, okay? So you could do it into three different sessions. Three different ways. So, number one, you meet them, and do they tell you what's going on with them, or do you just put the needles in where you feel you have to?
We talk about what they want to work on, and then I do pulse readings. Oh, the regular diagnostics.
Oh,
right.
Good. So you go through diagnostics, and then you do that. That's fine. So, if before you even do that, if you want to sit with them and say, you know, let me just do a psychic reading with you, an intuitive reading. Let's see if we can do some intuitive work on you here first. Then you can do it, and many times you'll hit on the things they came to see you for, by the way. So you might want to do, however you want to make it work, I would do set aside the intuitive reading, then do your acupuncture, and then after that, do the healing force energy. And the healing force energy, you can just imagine it coming down like a shower through you, to the top of your crown chakra, and through you and out of your hands, and do it that way. Have it coming into you and out of you, in and out.
Yes.
Okay. And just envision that as you're doing the healing, sending them healing.
Yeah.
Okay. I often see it as a blue-white light.
Hmm.
And I imagine, like, as this comes out of my hands, this blue-white light goes into their bodies. And any disturbances out of their fingers, out of their toes, I know that the universe just, you know, it takes care of it. We're all perfect in our way. We just got to remind ourselves of that. So it's just bringing that perfection energy in and cleansing away and clearing away any of those thoughts we have or imbalances. And there's only so much we can do because, you know, they're in control of their own lives as well. But we can certainly assist them to loosen things up, I guess you could say.
Well, right. I mean, so I've done what you were doing with Emily in the video where I'm reconnecting with their chakras, and I've been pretty successful with picking up on things and
you're pretty
moving
psychic.
That.
You really are. Yep, very good.
Thank you.
So
thank
I would separate them, though. I would separate it from, say, I'm going to do the intuitive reading. Let me just see if we're getting here, scanning you, what's going on with you. And then you can do the psychic work, the scanning psychically, picking up things, and then you can do your healing work, which is first you do your acupuncture, and then after that you'll do the healing. You'll do the giving them divine healing.
Right, so my intention is really clear. Yes,
exactly right. Don't mix it up. Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you.
Otherwise
so
it gets muddy. You know, it gets muddy otherwise.
Yes, yes.
All right?
Thank you, yes.
Okay, honey, you're a good healer. You really are. You're really good.
Thank you so much.
You're very pure.
I'm loving this. Thank
good.
You.
Thanks,
thank
good
you.
Heart.
Okay, we have another good question on Facebook from Trisha, and she's wondering, her girlfriend is having ongoing panic attacks. How do you help someone like this?
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. So, well, honestly, what I would do is I sit down with the person, and I think that it might require someone who's licensed. That might have to happen. But I think the panic attacks have to go back deeply, deeply back. So what's her history? Where does she come from? What's her childhood like? What traumas? It sounds like there were traumas there somewhere. It sounds like it's traumatic. It comes, that's where it stems from. So she'd have to sit down and find out where that comes from. And if she doesn't get comfortable with that, I would suggest a licensed therapist.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Okay, let's go to maybe one last caller, Jane.
Okay, sure. Our time is flying by.
Up.
Okay.
I know.
Oh,
I think we talked to the person. It's
John,
but I'm not sure it's John.
Wow.
415 is the name. John is coming up.
Me, Vicky, again. Can I ask a question again?
Go. Ask a fourth question. Go right ahead.
Oh, God. Okay, so, James, I have this. Pertaining to the videos in 5, the karmic lessons versus like bodhisattvas and, you know, the destiny points.
Right.
So like if you're a bodhisattva, can you kind of give us some clarity on like a bodhisattva, you know, comes back and takes on a lot of stuff, it seems. And yet then you can answer this better than me asking the question. I just was wondering, you know, what's the relationship with a bodhisattva versus like a karmic lesson or destiny point?
Okay, so I think we're out of time. No, I'm just joking with you. So let's look at it this way. So we're all souls, and whether enlightened beings, as you're mentioning, or our everyday souls, we all come back for reasons. So there are some souls that might have certain karmic lessons, certain things that this is what I talk about in the video, that there are definitely, this is our school, that we come back to learn certain lessons, whether it's compassion, whether it's forgiveness, whether it's honesty, whether it's learning about security, whether it's about loving ourselves, whatever those lessons are for the soul comes back. And then there are other souls, and everybody has what we call destiny points. So there are some, we come back with certain classes we must take, that we will take, and our higher self will lead us to those destiny points. Let's say, for instance, there's an analogy here. Let's say you're destined to meet this guy. You and this gentleman are destined to meet each other. In your karmic profile, his karmic profile, you both agreed upon that. So you meet each other. That's what has to happen. So the destiny point has met. You met each other. Then you had to have the free will what you want to do with the relationship. So do you want to be friends? Is it just a one-time meeting, which has happened?
Right.
Or is it a lifetime? So that's free will between the two of you, see?
Yeah.
So there are some beings that come back here that who are enlightened beings, who are teachers, higher beings, who come back to immerse themselves in the human condition, right? in the human condition, mm-hmm. take on the human condition, to bring about a change, to bring about light, to bring light, to transmit love, to teach others about using love, to transmit about light. So they are taking on certain human conditions, but also as they take on the human conditions, they themselves are in this world, so they have to be human, right? But there's an awareness, there's a mindfulness, there's a certain way they look at things differently than a lot of souls, with love and compassion. And it's a hard one because, you know, humans tend to judge. Humans are very judgmental beings, and that's fear-based. So it's all about fear and love. And really those who have moved beyond that fear or those enlightened beings come back and help the rest of us, like the bodhisattvas, because, you know, we're all in it together. No one is different than anybody else. We're all different, maybe on different levels, but we can't advance without the other. We have to help each other up. And that's really what we come back with, what the enlightened beings come down here. And there are other places and spaces, too, by the way. There are millions of galaxies. This is just one. So there are many, many, many.
Well, but if the bodhisattva comes back and they want to, and they end up taking on the diseases or problems of the people that they're helping or whatever.
Right, so a bodhisattva might come back to alleviate karma for a certain group. So let's say certain people, not necessarily only bodhisattvas too, there can be group souls who choose to come back. Let's say World War II. World War II, there can be a lot of those souls that chose to go through that time and go through that whole Holocaust experience. And we say, wow, how could someone do that? Well, they might have been very advanced souls and came back to martyr, if you will, to teach others about evil, not evil, to teach us about the wrong things, that you can't kill people, it's the wrong thing to do, to teach people about love. And they've martyred themselves to help with that. Same thing when AIDS first came out. And it was funny, I was working with the interesting AIDS Project Los Angeles and doing spiritual work there. And it always came through in many instances that many of these people who chose that, and even certain cancers that people have, that they take on those conditions in order to alleviate negative karma from other masses, from people, from groups and groups of people, that they take on these karmic debts, if you will, and they take on these certain diseases, these certain conditions, in order to alleviate negative karma from a group of people.
That's fascinating.
It is, isn't it? It's fascinating. And it was, you know, one of the readings I did once, I brought through a man who created the red ribbon for AIDS. He was actually, his mother came through for reading, and I don't even know who anyone wants to talk to. I don't want to know the information. But he came through, and it was her son, and he actually created that red ribbon for AIDS, for the awareness. So it was really interesting. And it was through, I did hundreds and hundreds of AIDS people, because I worked over at AIDS Project Los Angeles, and a lot of the readings, not every one of them, but a lot of them said, well, it was necessary to alleviate certain karmic debts from others that I took that on. So that's interesting. Not everybody, though, who had it, reason why. Everyone's different.
Right.
But and I've heard that with certain cancers, too. Not all cancers, but certain cancers. You know, when you have children who take on leukemia at a young age, that soul takes on at a young age, those are enlightened beings. I mean, those are really the ones that really take on stuff.
Yeah. Wow.
For each other.
That's incredible.
It's interesting.
Yeah, we are connected for sure. You're right.
We're all connected, no doubt about it.
Yeah, great. Okay, good. Thank you very much.
All right, honey. Thank you. Interesting.
We have
one
good one, actually, James. Do you mind sticking for just a moment? There's a very good one on Facebook I think we need to answer before we close.
Yes, and then I want to talk about the truck thing, too, if we could.
The truck thing. Okay.
Yeah.
So Kim is asking, she said she has a friend with stage 4 cancer, and she's wondering if I can ask her to work with her. Is there any chance I can help her? I'm having a really hard time with this.
Okay, so it's a lady who's, her son?
So Kim has a friend with stage 4 cancer.
Oh.
That's a friend. She's wondering if she should ask her if she can work with her. Is there any chance I can help her? She's still new to this, but she feels she needs to do something.
Well, you know, what you can do, what I would suggest Kim does is absent healing. And all absent healing is sending love. It's sending that divine energy, the healing force, directed toward her. And that's just all it is. It's sending love. It's sending that love into the body. That's what you can do for her.
Okay. She said, okay, thank you. She's listening, I guess.
Yep. Absence of healing.
Perfect.
We talk a little bit about that. So it's the same thing with not being in present, but thoughts are things. So you can do that with that. What can help? I have had friends who the same thing. Now, do we know if it's that's their destiny? Some it is, some it isn't. So it's hard to say. But you can definitely, anything in love is the way it should be. We had one of the I talked about a lot in one of the videos about the thing about your truck. Bring the truck thing in. Where is it? Right here. I don't know if anyone had any questions about the truck. Unloading your truck. Do you remember that one?
I remember unloading your truck. I may have changed the name. Let me look.
It
was one where they go to parachute, don't they?
Yeah.
Let's see.
It's don't believe everything. No, that one.
Yeah, it was in lesson four. The healing
four.
Power of your mind. Unloading the truck.
Unloading the truck. Video six it was. Unloading the truck. So that's a really interesting. So I'm just curious, anyone that what that is. It's a really great one. I've used that for years, and if you do that, you might find as you unload that truck, and you really unload these boxes with names on it of certain conditions that you carry with you, and you unload that into this balloon basket. And I'd be very interested to find out from people what do they find that the label on the box is. I would just find it very interesting. I don't know if anyone's done that one yet, but that would be really interesting if they find other people's energy, if they find stuff from their childhood, stuff they don't no longer need, that they're holding. A lot of us hold on to stuff we don't need to carry around so much stuff. Just curious.
That's a good one. Should we have them post on Facebook?
Yeah. I'd like them to do that. They would. I think really interesting in the Facebook page and do that. And I go on there. So for everybody, I go on to Facebook. I'm not leaving comments yet because I'm trying to find a way of getting in there with me doing it in a way. But I read all of them, believe me. But I want to. Yeah, I'd like to see what people. What do they unload? I'm really curious about what they unload. What are they in the boxes that they unload? And I want to see if they're same things, similar things, different things. It'd be really interesting.
All right, I'm putting a thread right up right now for people to comment.
Great.
Okay.
And the karmic, just one thing about the karmic healing, too. We talk about that in Lesson 5, healing the spirit and the soul. And the karmic healing and discovering your karma with other people. So the karma thing, as I talk about, it's certain patterns that repeat themselves over and over and over again. And the number one karmic relationships, I feel, are family relationships. So it's definitely the karmic relationships. The hardest lessons we usually have in life are through family. And that's because we have connections with them karmically and emotionally. And we've probably shared many, many lifetimes together. So the number one way to deal with karma with family relationships is love and forgiveness. So when a family member does something to you which you not happy with, you can forgive them. You don't have to forget them. Doesn't mean you condone what they've done, but you don't have to carry that with you. It's not your stuff, it's theirs. But if you can love them through it, it doesn't mean necessarily you have to talk to them either. When something's done, it's done. Season, reason, a lifetime. Realize that see if the karmic patterns repeat themselves over and over again. That's how you can tell the patterns, what they are. They keep on repeating. Same behaviors, same thing over and over and over again. That's karmic patterns. So we can break those through love.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Okay.
All right.
Very
thanks,
good.
Emily.
I think
thanks,
you're
everybody.
I think we'll be chatting with everyone in a few weeks.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye, Jane.